This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This hour is sponsored by Sloan, the leader in smart water and commercial restroom solutions.
Dan Wiederer, Bears beat reporter and enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune.
You're going to be relying on a lot of young players, guys that have to materialize into who they thought they were.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
How many weeks in November and December did we say, just be normal?
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to lose a game because you were outplayed and you didn't do something crazy at the end. You know, just be normal. And it was not normal.
On-air contributor for 670 The Score.
We'll mention this mainly because Chicago Tribune writer Dan Wiederer said we would mention this nugget.
We'll go first to Dan Wiederer. Go ahead, Dan.
Dan Wiederer.
Get your track shoes on.
With Bernstein and Harris on 670 The Score.
Joining us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline is Dan Wiederer. He's the Tribune beat writer on the Bears. He's the co-host, of course, of the vaunted Take the North podcast. You can find him on Twitter, as my colleague says, Layla Rahimi.
I don't
Dan
care.
Wiederer, she does not care.
Contrary to popular belief, Twitter does not pay me. I don't care.
I'll got
call
you.
Call it whatever I want.
But Dan, so happy to have you with us this St. Patrick's Day. And I got to start with the number 114. What does that number mean to you? Does it have any meaning to you, 114?
Should it? I'm trying to think. I'm racking my brain over here.
It is this alleged draft pick that different people are saying belong to either the Chicago Bears or the Carolina Panthers. I'm pretty sure it belongs to the Panthers. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I would like to submit evidence, Dan, that even yesterday, as an updated story on NFL.com, they were like, updated today, everybody's draft picks. And then you look on that list, and the Bears still have it on their list of draft picks, even though I know it created a little bit of hullabaloo the other day.
Wild. I'm all for hullabaloo, but this type of hullabaloo is a little bit too much. That's the Panthers pick, and so I don't think we need to spend a whole bunch more time investigating or digging through it.
It is funny.
Just wanted to clarify. It taken a life of its own, though. That's what.
No, that's what happens out there. those are some crazy streets there on that X Twitter, whatever you want to call it.
But it's also showing that AI still isn't foolproof. You know, it's like when the Cubs play the White Sox, and you look at the game preview, and it doesn't make any sense because the keyword is Chicago. This is another case where you still need humans because there needed to be some validation as to whose pick that was. And rightfully so, when multiple sources are saying different things, that's our job.
Yeah.
I am in the camp of we still need humans. So you can sign me up for that camp and we can ride that to the very end.
You know what's funny, Dan? As a fellow human, I also believe we are still needed in some capacity to do some things. So I'm going to ride with you on that. I want to know your thoughts, though, as you've kind of had the weekend to take in everything that transpired last week, a wild and crazy and maybe a fulfilling week for the Chicago Bears. I am very much nodding my head in approval at what I saw. Mm-hmm. What's your overall feeling going forward now that you see what the Bears have done here in the opening moments of free agency and obviously setting themselves up even before free agency began?
Yeah, I like your choice of words there. Fulfilling is a good description. Satisfying, you know, it fits because they have gone about their business with clear direction. And that even goes back to, you know, the hiring of Ben Johnson. And you just see a team that, you know, since the season ended, has understood what it needs and gone aggressively after the people that they think can fill those needs. And so you have to feel somewhat satisfied if you're Ryan Poles, if you're Kevin Warren, if you're Ben Johnson, at the way this is unfolded. You go out, you know you need a center, you get the best one on the market that's available in free agency. You don't like the way that the guard market is necessarily shaping up, so you take things in your own hands and you aggressively make a couple of trades that get you two starters there. Obviously add to your defensive line and give some more teeth to that pass rush. And now you are going to kind of watch these next couple waves of free agency crash down and figure out what you can use to fill your roster, because they still have more than 30 roster spots available. Obviously, you're going to save some of those for the draft class and the undrafted free agents, but there's a lot more depth to fill this roster out with. And so now you got to do some of that bargain shopping that's so critical here in the middle of March.
Yeah, in fact, I think the Ryan Poles phrase that he used last year about it being hard to make the roster actually will be true this year. Maybe they were just a year early on that statement. Let's start with a move that was made after the last time we talked to you. Bears getting another receiver in Olamide Zaccheaus. What can you tell us about him and how they want him to fit in here?
Well, I can tell you first and foremost that he's on my all pronunciation list, because there's a bunch of guys that I've got to learn how to pronounce it. If you did that right, you did that very smoothly just a minute ago, Layla, because if it's Zaccheaus, then I'm in and I'll ride that boat. I think the one thing that you hear from people around the league that probably made him attractive to the Bears is this dude's a very willing blocker. And as you know, undersized as he may be, and he'll give you some production out of the slot as a receiver, but he's going to be a piece for you that, you know, that when he is not the guy who's the design of the play call, that he's going to go out and do the dirty work. And I think they may have lacked that a little bit last year with the edges a little bit of not necessarily committing to that as much as they needed to. And so I think that will be a strong emphasis here in the early stages for Ben Johnson.
Sticking with the receivers, a report by Ian Rappaport, who says that free agent wide receiver Rondale Moore, who visited the Vikings last week, is now visiting the Bears today. That's per him and Mike Garofalo. What do you think about Moore and his possibilities in Chicago?
Look, they need depth at that position. They also need special teams help. And so, you know, that's a player right there that you know can do both for you. It can be a factor in your return game, can do some things as a receiver. You know, price tag is a big deal at this time of year, but you know, we were talking last week that receiver position was the one that felt pretty thin at this point, you know, and God bless the Bears for understanding that the offensive line was the priority and going out and making that the priority. But once you address that priority, you've got to see your depth chart, you got to see your roster, and you got to figure out a way to add to it. So we'll see if something materializes there, but certainly a position group that needs a little bit more help.
I understand that Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles didn't have to talk a ton when it came to introductory press conferences of their four free agents and two free agents and two trade acquisitions that they talked about. But at the same time, I need more than 10 minutes each day out of those two combined. Do we anticipate them talking any more anytime soon?
Well, the owners' meetings are in 2 weeks. That'll be our next extensive sit down with those guys. And that's a really good setting in a more casual environment to get to a lot. So if you can hold tight until, you know, is it 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks? I'm losing track of my own days. 2 weeks from now. So you've got an opportunity to learn a ton in those few days in Palm Beach. And at that point, the roster will be more complete and there'll be more to get at there. I can't remember a lot of times where the general manager and the head coach have talked on back-to-back days at this point of the season ever. So that was at least a step in the right direction for the Bears to make them available on both of those days and to kind of describe what there's there. But I'm with you, because I think that there's a lot to learn about this football team under the new direction that they have now. And so every little bit of time we get with them, I think, is going to be so critical to understanding the vision.
I mean, that's it for me. I joke, like, I need more. But in this case, it has more to do with, we want to know how these guys fit in with you. And that, to me, was a big point of it. You're right. It is nice that they talk 2 days in a row about these people. But I also want you guys to have some main character energy here and tell me how you see them with you. Expand it.
No question. And look, like they're going to get an extra little mini camp in April. The first week of April, they'll have an opportunity to get together with the team in House Hall, and then Ben Johnson will be on stage again, giving us a little bit more insight into to where he sees things headed. And I think it's going to be a fun ride with Ben, because I don't think he is reluctant to share with you his thoughts. I don't think he is hesitant to offer philosophy. And so I think, again, you're going to be able to glean things from every session you have with him. Those are, for me, my favorite people to cover. And I've had that in a couple different spots where you get with people and you're like, okay, this isn't going to be a waste of time. And I can't necessarily say that about Ben's predecessor, and that page is turned. But I think that every time we get with him, I think it's going to be a productive back and forth.
Dan, we're looking at the draft now. That's the next big thing past the owners' meeting. And it's so funny how you can come into an offseason looking at the draft in a very specific way and like saying they need this, they need that. And then free agency happens and all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, it's just a little bit more wide open. How much of a contrast is there in how you look at that number 10 pick now compared to how you looked at it, let's say, 2 weeks ago?
So I call this the Reggie Ragland principle, and I shared this story on the podcast a couple months ago when we were kind of getting ready for the draft before it was time to get ready for the draft. And years ago, I went to the combine. The Bears were in heavy need of linebackers, and so I spent an entire day at the combine, you know, writing a feature about Reggie Ragland. And, oh man, this kid from Alabama is going to be a perfect fit for what they're looking for. You know, keep your eyes on him, spend a lot of effort and energy. Free agency opened, they signed Danny Trevathan. They no longer needed a linebacker, and all of a sudden that work was a waste. And so I always call that the Reggie Ragland principle, because it's a reminder not to really get too immersed in pre-draft stuff until free agency is two or three waves in. And so at the start of next week, you're going to be two or three waves in, and you're going to be able to see this board as clearly as you've ever seen it, and you're going to understand that interior offensive line is no longer the need that it was at the start of the month, and now all of a sudden you can focus your energy elsewhere. I think you're right in saying that the flexibility that the Bears have with the menu that they're probably going to be staring at number 10 is really, really appealing right now. And I think that's got to be fun for not only Bears fans, but for the decision makers there to understand that, like, they're going to get a really good player and they don't have to be married to a position.
Yeah, and we always talk about best player available as this idea, but what's the best available player for you might not be the best available player for another team, depending on need, let's be honest. But at 10, it seems like it's going to be a whole lot of waiting to see what happens in that top nine, as opposed to, well, we know it's either going to be this guy or that guy. They could feasibly go after three or four different positions here, and that could include still linemen, if we're being honest, on the defensive or offensive side.
There's no question. And Sean Hammond, my new colleague at the Trib, and I appreciate you guys having him on last week. We were just putting together our candidate list, because when we get closer to draft time, we'll have the annual Tribune big board of the 12 guys that make sense for the Bears at number 10. And we've got 14 names that you could take today and say that fills a need and that makes perfect sense. And they're at all different positions. You got running backs, you've got tight ends, you've got defensive tackles, you've got offensive linemen, you even have one safety in there. So pass rushers as well. A lot to consider, and that's where this gets fun for the Bears, because now they can sit in those draft meetings, they can have all the coaches, all the front office personnel, all the scouts kind of offer their input, and then you can start to crystallize what makes sense for your football team. It's going to be a productive first round for sure for the Bears, and then they've got to make sure that they go through those other six picks that they currently own and use those to the best of their ability.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I feel like this is a little for later in the conversation, but you and Brad Biggs did that huge deep dive on the success of the polls, or it was the Pace regime picks, and you gave it a grade and some sort of measuring stick to work with, you know, like what the expectation is for the first round, what the expectation is for all these others. And what I appreciated is you can now build a similar book, even in 3 years that we've seen so far, on Ryan Poles. So, especially when you consider concepts like drafting two punters in 3 years, spending your first offensive pick 3 years ago on a guy who's no longer on the team. And I'm not saying that this is independent of the other decisions he's made. Those are good decisions. But in this case, it's worth discussing as to how they get here, you know, and I look forward to the day where you guys are able to do that again and do a multi-year draft class recap, especially when you consider a lot of these expectations that they put on the defensive line and how those are shaking out right now.
Yeah, and one of the cool parts of that exercise is understanding what registers as a success at various points of the draft board and how NFL personnel folks kind of grade themselves on what you're looking for in the top 10, what you're looking for on day two, what you're looking for at the start of day three, and what you're looking for at the end of the draft. And so you've got to make sure that you hit for average. You know, you do have to do that. And if you guys go and look through the Detroit Lions under the alignment and the regime of Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell, you're not going to find a lot of dead weight in those draft classes. And there's a reason that they've taken the North and are threatening to never give it back, right? Like, the Detroit Lions aren't making bad missteps with their draft picks, and they've gotten guys to come in and contribute right away. They've gotten, you know, day two and day three picks to be standout starters for them. And Monroe St. Brown was a day three draft pick, right? Like, that he was selected after Velus Jones was selected, you know, different round. One was a third rounder, one was a fourth rounder. One guy is a Pro Bowler who's going to be around for a long, long time.
Man.
The other guy's already out the door. So that is your path to being relevant. That is your path to sustained success. You got to make sure that you understand what you're looking for. Hopefully they will start to hit for a higher average than they have during the 12 years that I've been here so far.
I mean, that's it for me, is that there's either tunnel vision or guys thinking that they can fix people. And I say that with a wink and a smile to Marshall, because we hear the phrase, I can fix him all the time. But can you really fix that person? Mm-hmm. But the point being, you fall in love with these players and then you think that you've got the answers. And a lot of times you may not. I also want to say this. I think that the Bears are putting them in a position similar to what they did last year, where you're arguing at 9. Are you taking the best available player, or are you taking the best available player for your specific needs? And that is not a knock on Roma Dunze. I am not trying to say that. I never was in the beginning. But it does deserve to beg the question, did they do that when you consider all the talent that was available at that pick, especially when you look at it after last year?
Well, look, I think that they wanted to get him a weapon. And when Ryan Poles came in, this was shortly after the Bengals had chosen to use their top pick on Ja'Marr Chase to pair up with Joe Burrow. And Ryan Poles, the day he was introduced at Hallis Hall, said that had he been sitting in the draft chair in Cincinnati, he would have done something different. But that opened his eyes to the idea that what you do isn't always the best thing. And obviously Burrow and Chase have put themselves together to have long, prolific career together and went to a Super Bowl. You know, that was the period where they were coming off a Super Bowl appearance. And so it turns your head a little bit. I think Roma Dunze is going to be a tremendous football player in this league. I think he's going to have a great rapport with Caleb for a long time. And so if that works out, it works out. The bottom line is you got to get better at identifying the right players for your front lines. And that's been the problem in the Ryan Poles era. Like, they used a second round pick on Jervon Dexter, and he's been, you know, shrug, ho-hum. Zach Pickens hasn't given you anything as a third-round pick. You know, the offensive lineman, Karana Magashi, was a round 3 pick. We don't know what his future looks like with this new regime. You know, Nate Davis came in on a $30 million contract and didn't last through the middle of his second season. And so you've got to pair all these things together, but you got to be right at key positions. And that's where you get in a little bit of trouble, because they just haven't been right up front enough. And then it exposes all these other weaknesses elsewhere.
We'll see if that changes going forward with the NFL draft not too far away. Dan Weider from the Chicago Tribune, and also Take the North podcast with Mark Grody. I don't know. Yeah,
no,
I was
doing actually figured out that Take the North doesn't need an question mark anymore. We're at like Take the North, maybe ellipses.
Yeah, ellipses. Sure. I think ellipses are the appropriate North syntax, right?
Marshall was the first one to refer to it as vaunted just a few minutes ago. So I'm putting that on the testimonials page, and we'll continue to pump it up as best we can.
Oh, yeah, it is. Are you kidding? Come on. I watch it on YouTube. Let's go.
Thanks so much for your time, Dan. We really appreciate it. Can't wait to talk to you next time.
Enjoy March Madness, guys.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, so you too, Dan.
That is Dan Weider, Tribune Bears beat reporter and, of course, co-host of the vaunted Take the North podcast.
And Illini.
Meanwhile, yes. Oh yeah. Meanwhile, also,
he's not saying that because he didn't go to Northwestern. He's saying that because he's an Illini.
Because his team is a 6 seed and hoping to climb.
Okay,
in Milwaukee.
I think they're at least a Sweet 16 team.
Meanwhile, while some people take the North, other people take home big paychecks.
Yeah,
those people reside in Cincinnati.
Yeah, but I don't know how you're paying the rest of the team, but we'll get to that, I guess.
Yeah, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, they got bank. We'll discuss those extensions and more when Bernstein and Harris with Layla Rahimi returns on 670.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan Bernstein, Marshall Harris, The Bernstein and Harris Show, middays 10 till 2 on 670 The Score.
Burrow at the 40 of the Cowboys, clock is at 1:14. He's in the shotgun formation, four wide receivers, shotgun snap, five-man rush, line drive, throw near side. It's caught by Chase, 30, sideline 20, Chase to the 10, 5, touchdown! The Bengals have got a touchdown pass! Joe Burrow on the play, a 40-yard strike to the incomparable Ja'Marr Chase! And the Bengals have taken a lead with 101 to go in regulation.
The whistle's got woo!
Get it in the system before they take the internet down, man. Archive everything.
That call on Westwood
One. That's only in the morning.
That was one of 17 times you heard Ja'Marr Chase receiving a touchdown from Joe Burrow. That paid off as he won the Triple Crown. He's only the fifth player since the AFL-NFL merger back in 1970 to win the Triple Crown, leading all players in receptions, receiving yards, and, of course, receiving touchdowns. And now he leaves everybody that doesn't play quarterback in a different category. That would be contract extension money, because he agreed to a four-year, $161 million deal that includes $112 million guaranteed.
What?
That's while his teammate... What? T. Higgins, wide receiver 2, and really wide receiver 2 only because he plays with Ja'Marr Chase, agreed to a four-year, $115 million deal that's guaranteed for the first 2 years.
Are the Bengals backed by some secret, like, titanium fund that we don't know about? Like, what's happening over there?
I want to know about the Joe Burrow restructure that has either already happened that we don't know about or that is on the way, because you can't field a whole team if you're paying three guys that much money otherwise.
Joe Burrow is making $55 million a year.
There's got to be a restructure of some sort.
These dudes are going to get paid until 2078. How are they going to work this out?
I just... And people want to believe that T. Higgins isn't that good, but if you saw him at the end of last season, that's what makes it so great, is that even though Higgins was hurt, when he comes back, Chase was already doing work, but now you've got to pay attention to Chase and you can't devote extra resources because Higgins will look like Chase on the other side.
Can we play some Madden real quick?
Okay.
With this Bengals extended offense.
Sure.
You could theoretically have them run the same routes on either side, and it would still be fine.
Listen,
terrible play design, but I don't even know that it matters.
Now, here's an interesting... I want to bring this up as part of this news about the extensions, right? We agree that it seems to be problematic that you're paying your two wide receivers this much money, given how much, one, the Bengals' defense was terrible last year. Two, their best defensive player, Trey Hutchinson, is out here saying, I want to be traded, so you're going to have a lot of holes you need to fill.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was interesting in our production meeting today, Adam Studzinski, you may know him as Studs.
Adam Studzinski?
Yeah, Adam Studzinski.
Adam Tater Studzinski.
He was
very... The whistles got woo!
Aren't you glad you know about that? Like, the leprechaun shirt has induced the Internet Hall of Fame, where now we just make sure things are in our system, like Bub Rub and Little Sis.
Absolutely. But Stud says that DJ Moore is better than T. Higgins. I have qualms with that. But I understand why he might be saying
it's close.
He's got his Bears bias.
They're two different kinds of receivers.
Yeah, that's the one thing. Let's start with that.
But you made a good point about the DJ Moore extension looking like a better deal. That was your point, too.
Well, it's just a really good deal compared to how these receivers are getting paid around the league. Like, DJ Moore is making pretty damn good money, but it's a much more affordable contract than what some of these other guys are getting.
I think what it speaks to is how what looks like an expensive deal one day can become very much run-of-the-mill just 2 years down the road because of other guys getting paid. And so, yes, Ryan Poles, we always go pro-cons with his moves. Extending DJ Moore when he did, looking like a great move now. I think we can all agree on that.
Yes, and previously he was in the top five among paid receivers, so now he is going to be bumped out because of the extensions. So I think that's the issue when it comes to signing extensions, and that's why I was always on Jerry Jones, like, what are you doing? The more time you wait, the more expensive it gets for you, the owner.
If you know you have a guy who is essential to your franchise going forward, and you want him to be a part of your team, and you know that first, you sign the extension as soon as possible before the money goes up. The brick doesn't go down. It's like HOA fees, right? I'm foolishly out here looking to maybe purchase a place to live, right? Because rent is rent, and equity is equity, and all those things.
Fortunately, at the score, we have realtors and mortgage dealers for you.
Yeah. And those HOA fees... My goodness.
Oh, yeah, that's a second rent payment a lot of the time.
If you buy a place with HOA fees, one thing I can tell you is those fees never go down. They only go one direction. That's like these salaries for top-level players in any sport.
And you sign a signing bonus to your house sometimes where there's a special assessment.
So, yeah, the Bears out here getting while the getting was good on several of these players, I think, is my point. And Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, I don't know how things are going to work out for the Bengals and their fans. Shout out to my boy Bengals Doug. I don't know how that's going to work out for you long term.
I think Bengals Doug was still concerned about the Bengals defense, wasn't he?
Well, that's my point. I think we're all concerned. Anybody who enjoyed the Bengals and really wanted to see them in the AFC playoffs, because we know that the Chiefs didn't want any parts of a red-hot Joe Burrow and company, to see them not getting in the playoffs, you're like, oh, if only their defense was good, they would have a chance.
And how many times were people saying, like opposing defensive players saying Joe Burrow deserved MVP discussion last year?
Oh,
like
I was driving that bus.
And there were people calling him the MVP for what he was doing. But yes, you're still doubling down on your offense this way. I understand that you had to keep your stars offensively, but that doesn't mean you do it at the price of what's happening to the defensive side of the ball, which was already a concern. You could also argue that when they fired their former defensive coordinator, Lou, that like everything has changed since then too. Like that's an issue. I like what you said, Studs, about learning the wrong lessons after the Super Bowl loss. And I
just after getting to the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, that too. But the point being, in doing so, how did you rebound? You know, and I don't know that the 49ers cap situation that we're seeing right now is the same. Them having to let go so many people in order to free up money, not only to pay back Brock Purdy, but whatever else may come down the line. But
I don't think Brock Purdy deserves one of these top level contracts as a quarterback either.
When you look at the average annual value of the guys below $50 million, though, it starts to make you, based on resume, understand why he's being put in the group with 50.
Yes, but no. I think you can fool yourself. You know,
there's a price you pay as a Super Bowl quarterback. Not necessarily Super Bowl winning, but a Super Bowl quarterback.
Let me just take a quote from something that Joe Burrow said just last month. The Eagles are paying everybody. That's what he told the Cincinnati Inquirer. That seems like the way, whatever they're doing. So now I'm wondering, is he going to not necessarily take a pay cut, but what that restructure looks like so that they can quote unquote pay everybody? Because I see them paying offensive players, but paying defensive players is also a thing. And I don't know. And we've seen it with the Eagles. Look at all the players the Eagles have lost this offseason. And we talk about how good they've been at developing the next wave of guys, whether that's at the line, the most important position, obviously, offensive and defensive, but also at other key spots on defense. And we're going to find out just how good they are next season, and it's going to be a lot through the draft. If you're Howie Roseman, this is your time to shine. Get it through the draft. We just heard Dan Weider on with us talking about how important the draft is going to be because there have been so many misses by Ryan Poles in his time as the Bears general manager. And so to see what Howie Roseman does, that's one of the reasons I'm interested in the draft, is not just the Bears in the draft, but to see what all these other teams, the Chiefs being one of them, who have their quarterback situation figured out. How do you build around them, but still pay the guys that need to be paid to have your quarterback be successful, but build enough so that you always have a next wave of guys so that when you lose guys to free agency, you're still an elite team?
That's why I don't always agree with draft the best player available. I just don't. You have to draft sometimes for your need and the best player available at the position you want because of guys like the offensive line, for example. Like Danon Hughes said to us last two weeks ago, where we talked to him about Joe Tooney, they had to draft younger offensive linemen. They knew that those guys were going to be dependent on at some point. That becomes the next wave, right? You knew you couldn't keep Joe Tooney. You knew you can't keep some of these players. So how do you rebuild around them? That's where the draft comes into play when you have that situation. And the Chiefs are at level 501 of this thing, right?
I think it was great hearing from Andy Reid when he was on BetQL with, I think it was Cam Smith and Clay Harbaugh. Yeah, he was on with Clay and Cam.
Clay Harbor?
Yeah, I say Harbaugh, but I was...
Clay Harbaugh being an extension of the Harbaugh brothers. That's an interesting character for Clay.
My bad. Clay knows I know his name.
We've shouted out three members of the Marshall clique in this show. Dan, Doug, and Clay.
Yes. Anyway, Clay Harbor was on BetQL. And it was interesting to hear Andy Reid really succinctly describe the problem that why they had to trade Tooney. They had to trade him because that's the way the salary cap works. You got to make hard decisions. They had other younger guys ready to go, and they said, we got to find out if they can play or not. So here we go. And Patrick Mahomes is the kind of magical elixir that you spread over everything that makes everything better, even when it's not necessarily better.
But that's it. It's that quarterback wins above replacement are worth five times, unfortunately, what everybody else's wins above replacement are worth. It's that significant.
Let's talk about viewing over replacement. because sometimes you got to make the hard choices.
Guys, we need some help with our schedule tonight. And I think we have to, we need to talk this out with everybody, because I don't know how we get this all done tonight and tomorrow morning.
We have a show tomorrow from 10 to 2. We have two games that we're trying to watch overnight. And I do mean overnight. One is the Bulls. The other is the Cubs. We'll figure out our sleep schedules and everything else. It's Bernstein and Harris with Layla Rahimi on 670 The Score.
Bernstein and Harris.
I'm covered in bees.
Middays 10 till 2.
That's only in the morning. You're supposed to be up cooking breakfast or somebody. And so that's like an alarm clock.
Woo-woo! Life was simpler then.
The whistles go woo!
Man, he's just trying to put whistles on his car.
I got to see the whole thing. I got to understand what we're talking about as we welcome
it's
back to...
It's a news story from Oakland.
Okay.
Like your news story about the leprechaun.
Oh, it's a news story.
Yeah, it's a news story, and there's these things, these whistles, basically, that they were putting on cars, and it makes like a whistling noise as you're driving down the street. And,
like you heard him say, Bub Rubbin' Little Sis in Oakland.
And people were complaining about it. So Bub Rubbin' Little Sis were defending it.
Remember the days when that was the concern? Like what somebody put on their car to like make noise?
That's only in the morning.
Like I hear cars now that like rumble whole apartment buildings. Do I care? No. Just don't care.
So we're back on Bernstein and Harris with, as you could just hear just now, Layla Rahimi.
Woo, woo!
Here on this St. Patrick's Day, celebrating sports, celebrating the viral videos, memes. We celebrate everything on St. Patrick's Day, because I wasn't in town for St. Patrick's Day, so I didn't get to see the whole river being dyed green and all the cool stuff.
It's still green.
Oh, is it still green?
It is.
Oh, I'll check that out after the show, I guess.
Its resting state is just greenish anyway.
Yeah, that's fair.
How dare you do that to Chonkosaurus?
Let the algae do their part. Also, guys, did you know the Miami Heat have lost 7 games in a row? I didn't know if you were aware. Do you know?
Jimmy Butler is.
The Bulls are now 1 game out of the 9 spot, which would, of course, give them the opportunity to host a play-in game.
Listen here, you know what else you missed was this Bulls-Rockets game. And I'm here to tell you that that was a pretty exciting game. There was a good chance that they were going to steal the ball from Jalen Green and get the game-tying layup. That thing went down to the wire.
Yeah.
And the Rockets are no slouch now.
No, the Rockets are good. And the Rockets have the second best record in the Western Conference.
Remember when the Lakers did and everybody freaked out? And I was like, oh, wow, it's like the Lakers made a trade for a top five NBA player to improve.
Yeah, that was probably
standings.
Before the Golden State Warriors won 7 in a row and the Minnesota Timberwolves won 8 in a row. But I digress.
No,
I digress.
It's all related. Like Jimmy Butler's over here like, oh, I have no problem.
It is related.
You know, being a scorer when they need me to and all this. And I'm like, oh, are we here? Joe Calley retweeted it because I know Joe is Team Jimmy.
Layla, here's why it's all related. The Bulls stand right now with the 8th worst record in the NBA. Do you know who has the worst record in the NBA?
Is it Detroit? No. No, it's not
Detroit.
It's like Toronto or something.
It's the Utah Jazz. Do you know who the Bulls play tonight?
Larry Markkanen. You haven't heard the Larry song.
You told me there's a Finnish song about Larry Markkanen, but I have not heard it.
Is that in our system?
It is, because I put it there.
Or
that's
did we
amazing.
Kick it out because of Bub Rubbin' Little Sis?
Oh, is there a memory?
Oh, there's a... No, you need to hear the Larry Markkanen song.
Well...
Because you're never going to unhear it after that.
I'll tell you this. I'm concerned about the Bulls because they play at 8 o'clock tonight, which isn't too late, but it's a little late, considering there's a 5:10 a.m. first pitch for the Chicago Cubs. So the question is, it's opening day tomorrow at 5:10 in the morning.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I kind of...
For Finnish hip-hop, it might be up there.
I kind of mess with it.
Also, why did I randomly say Detroit? I think it's because I saw JB Biggerstaff all upset on TV just now. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, it's okay, but...
I got to look into that.
What I want to know is, how are we handling this as a group? Are we watching the Bulls and then just
sleeping
trying to go
fast
to bed really quickly and then getting up at 5 in the morning? Now, 5 in the morning is not a problem for me. I'm going to let y'all know.
Yeah, why are you a morning person when we worked at night for so long?
Because what did you do? Listen, so at my former job at WBBM, had to remember the call letters.
Channel 2.
I would get off work at 10:30. We would record morning sports. So I'd get home by 11. I was in bed and asleep by 11:30 every single night, guaranteed. Unless it was league pass and the Warriors were playing a close game, then I might stay up a little bit.
See, I had the opposite issue. For me, I thought that getting off work and going to bed that quickly is like somebody getting off at 5 and going to bed at like 7. When so like 12:31 was the earliest for me just because I needed to cool down.
I think, Layla, when you're younger, that is the case. But if you get into this habit of getting up early in the morning, once 11 o'clock rolls around at night and you have had no nap, you're tired. Your body is saying, it's time to shut it down. We know we're getting up tomorrow morning. So I had no problem falling asleep. And of course, I know you guys did the thing on Friday where we talked about mundane things that you could feel like you could meddle in or whatever. I don't know how you put it, Friday fun.
Mundane life skills.
Yeah, so like napping is mine. I can fall asleep in this chair, even though it's a very uncomfortable chair.
My
aunt
once fell asleep on a cement picnic table. Like, she could sleep anywhere.
Oh, that's fine. That's
a skill.
That ain't no problem.
That is a skill.
So now, even though I don't work nights anymore, it's just I want to go to bed at 9. I really want to go to bed at 9. That's a perfect target. 9:30 is stretching it. 10 would be like the latest. For games, I stay up till 10, basically.
All right, so 8 o'clock Bulls game, we're looking at 10:30 end, right?
10:30 in.
So, okay, so maybe you're asleep by, like, if you're lucky, 11?
I'll definitely be asleep by 11, guaranteed.
I will not be. All right, so then you're waking
up. So then I get
at
5 hours of sleep. Actually, five and a half hours of sleep.
11 to 5 is 6 hours of sleep.
Got it, but I'm going to get up at 4:30 to go to the gym.
Oh.
I'm going to listen to the game at the gym while doing my whiteboard workout. Got it?
Yeah.
Come home, shower, come to work. In fact, I probably won't even walk to work tomorrow. No, that's a lie. I'll walk because I'll still be able to listen on 670 The Score.
Yeah, you will.
It's Zach Zaman and Ron Coomer, right? Yeah. I'll be able to listen to that on my way in, and then I'll watch the rest of the game with everybody who's eating the good food.
I know. I am excited about the Manny's Deli.
So
somebody's got to steal that for us.
Yeah.
They usually bring plenty. There'll be some left by the time you get here.
Okay. So I'm excited for all of that. So that's how I'm approaching it. Will you guys watch the Bulls game tonight, or will you say, I got to go to bed and wake up for Cubs? How are you going to handle it?
Oh, I'll be up. I'll be up watching that, and then I'll get up with no problem at 5 a.m. or actually what the pregame is 4:35 here on The Score.
Why don't we just do the whole read? Tomorrow morning is the Cubs regular season opener in the MLB Tokyo Series. Shota Imanaga is starting for the Cubs as they take on Shohei Ohtani and the reigning champion Dodgers. Pregame coverage begins at 4:35. First pitch is at 5:10 a.m. on The Score in the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. But yeah, that's the hard part is I'm going to watch both too, but I just don't think I'm going to get to bed right at 11.
Yeah, that's my issue as well. I don't know. I have trouble going to sleep right away after even watching a, you know, maddening Bulls game as they have been this season. Despite my disgust with whatever the outcome may be, which is more winning than we need them to have lately. I will still stay up. I'll go on CHSN, watch the post game Billy Donovan, and then stay up thinking about why are the Bulls winning so much?
Because of Billy Donovan.
That's right.
Does the winning bother you that much? Have you not? Okay.
It's enjoy. I think
you should accept the fact that they're going to be a play-in team. Once you say, okay, I know they're going to be in the play-in game, it's fine. It doesn't really matter if they win or lose because the only issue is, will they win 2 play-in games? Now, if they win 2 play-in games, that's a different story because now you're in the playoffs. You have no lottery, anything, and you should have gotten something else besides your own pick back in the trade that you made. That's
right.
What it is.
Is it wrong that I wanted them to get more than just their own pick back?
I mean, we all want a lot of things, Layla, but what we actually get in life, that's sometimes out of our control.
Amen. Amen.
What is life willing to give you back? So it's not about what AK necessarily wants. It's like, what is the team he's trading with willing to give him back?
Yes, but unlike life, there were seemingly more cause and effect that was actually determined by these actions. Like one led to another, which led to another. That you can actually trace as opposed to outside factors in life where those actually become an issue. And in this case, I understand where the salary piece of it limited them, but I don't know. I feel like I value what they gave away, I guess, is the issue. I value too highly what they gave away, if that makes sense.
We'll see how much AK values what he got back, not just this season, but in the upcoming offseason and going forward, especially with guys like Trey Jones and big man Zach Collins, a lot of guys who are helping them to win right now. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we will go back to the Bears, because you know what? I didn't get to enjoy the celebration, the pageantry of all these new players being paraded into Halas Hall, but we're going to revisit a little bit of that and talk about what my thoughts are on the Bears going forward and how just proud I am of Ryan Poles, Ben Johnson, and company for doing what needed to be done at this stage of the offseason. It is Bernstein and Harris with Layla Rahimi on 670 The Score.
Woo-hoo!
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.